Turn to your neighbor and say, you are equipped to serve. Now turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's begin reading in verse 8. If you were here with us last week, how many were here? Okay. You ever been to a good fishing spot and you show up and you catch all kinds of fish? You go home happy because you were successful. The next time you go fishing, what are you going to do? You're going to go back for more, right? Well, I felt like we got a lot of good from last week, so we're going back for more today out of Ephesians chapter 8, verses 8 through 10. It says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And that is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Now, verse 10 is going to be our text. It's what we read last week. And it's so amazing how many things we can get out of these 22 words in verse 10. Here we go. For we are God's workmanship, or handiwork, depending on which version you're in, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Once again, if you were here last week, you'll remember that we understand that we are God's handiwork. That also in the Greek means poema. We are God's poem, created in Christ Jesus, which means we are identifying with Christ. Why? To do good works, not just works, but good works, which he's already prepared in advance for us to do. So we have a to-do list. We have things that God has equipped us to do and prepared in advance for us to do, and it is up to us to do those things. We also learn from David, as he did the small things, as he just tended the sheep. He was obedient, he was available. Those were his two main things, but he understood the power of God that he had upon his life and what he could do. He could kill giants. He could do anything he wanted to based on not his ability, but on God's ability through him. So those are the things we learned last week. Let's pray as we begin this week. Lord, thank you for what we learned last week, and I'm excited about what we're going to share today. And God, may we walk out of this building understanding we are equipped to serve. May we have the heart of a servant today. In your name we pray. Amen. As we continue today, I want to look at three things that we misunderstand about being equipped to serve. We sometimes get things a little backwards, and I want to look at those. The first one, I kind of closed on this last week. The first point is it's not about ability, it's about availability. We do not have to worry about our inability to do something or our ability to do something. God has given us gifts. He's given us things in our life that we can use to minister to other people. But if you get focused on your abilities, you're always going to wonder if you have enough of what it takes to make it happen. But if we focus on our availability and being available to God, he will give us the ability. Amen? We are the hose. God is the water. If you want to water your flowers, you take the hose and you put it where you want to go so you can nourish your flowers. We're the hose. God's the water. He does the nourishing. We just have to get in there. That's what we have to understand. And when it comes to ability, we will always ask that question, do I have what it takes? I remember when I was a child and growing up and watching other adults and finding people who I wanted to be like. And I remember asking that question, when I get older, I wonder if I'll have what it takes. And I thought, maybe when I graduate high school, I'll be able to answer that question. You know what? I made it through high school. I have what it takes, until I didn't really answer that question. And I thought, well, maybe when I get through college, I'll be able to answer that question, until I'm out of college and I still don't know if I have what it takes. Well, maybe when I get married and have a few kids, I'll be able to answer that question. As long as you're focused on your abilities or your inabilities, you're going to ask the question, do I have what it takes? No matter your age or your profession, no matter what you do, we must understand we must be available and the ability will come. You don't have to turn here, but I want to read 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. It says, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses. Now, this is Paul talking to Timothy. And he's telling him, the things you have heard among many witnesses, commit these to who? Faithful men, who will then be able to teach others also. What's the first thing he's looking for? A faithful man or woman who will be able to teach others. In other words, we've gotten this backwards in church. Many times when we're looking for someone to serve, we look for an able person. Well, I think they'd be able to run this small group, or I think they'd be able to run this ministry. But we've forgotten to ask ourselves, are they faithful enough to carry it out? We must first understand we need to be available, and God will bring us the ability. Many of you are waiting on your life to be perfect before you volunteer to serve somewhere. A faithful person is not a perfect person. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by a calamity." It did not say a righteous man never falls. It didn't say a righteous man is a perfect man. There was only one of those, and we know who that was. It said a righteous man will fall, but he's faithful because he gets up again. And he goes on. That's the faithful part. We may fall. It's kind of like riding a bike, learning to ride a bike for the rest of your life. And we're going to fall, but we have to get back up again. And that's what it means to be faithful. We may fall seven times, but we rise again and we keep doing what God has called us to do. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin in verse 14. It says that you should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about from every wind of doctrine. What does that mean when he says you should no longer be children? It means grow up. He's telling us to grow up, that we would no longer be tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine by trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, here's his words again, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. The reason we do not grow up in love, we don't understand how to speak the truth in love, the reason we get tossed about by every wind of doctrine is because we've not made ourselves available. We've not been faithful in God's house. I promise you, I saved the fun, kind stuff for the end of the sermon. But today we must understand we must be faithful. It's time for some of us literally just to grow up. I know that sounds kind of harsh or mean, but it's not about ability. It's about availability. It's about making yourselves available and being faithful to God. The second thing we're going to learn today, it's not about saving, it's about serving. We learned last week that we are equipped to serve, but many of us in our life, how many in here would be honest and say, you have family members who are lost and need Christ? How many could say you have really close friends who are lost and need Christ? How many of you could say you have co-workers who are lost and need Christ? You know, we wear that sometimes and we think we have to save them. If we will serve them, God will do the same. If we will begin by serving them, He will give you that opportunity to then say something. If we start by saying, we've not proven who we are, we've not shown them Christ through the love that we can share with them, by serving them, you'll have a lot more of a witness to share with them if you'll focus more on serving and not just saving. Saving is a part of it. But it's not all about saving, it's about serving. Now I want you to look at the apostles, how they describe themselves in the Bible. Once again, you don't have to turn here. I'm just using these as examples. Paul said this in Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle. Philippians 1:1 says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. James 1:1 says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1:1 says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle for Christ. What was the first thing they listed on their abilities, on their how they want to be identified as with Christ, was as a servant. They were a servant first. And then they gave what else they might be. We must be a servant first, and we must serve others. This did not come natural to them. Sometimes it doesn't come natural to us to serve first. It's hard to do sometimes. In Mark chapter 9, verse 33 and 34, it says, Jesus, he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, What is it you disputed among yourselves on the road? But they kept silent. For on the road, they disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. Does that sound like a servant to you? No. They were talking about who was going to be the best. and who was going to save the most people or who was going to be the most successful. They were trying to see who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus took them and he sat them down in verse 35. He called the 12 and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all. And what's that say? Servant of some. Right? No. Servant of the ones we like. No. Servants of all. We are to serve people first. It's not that easy sometimes to just then as it is to just say it, but we must be servants first. So I feel like I need to ask the question today. Who are you serving? And I don't mean Jesus. We know we need to serve Jesus first. Who are you serving? I know you serve in the children's department. You're an usher. You're a greeter. The question is, who outside of this building, who that does not know Christ, are you serving? As you begin to serve them, you'll have opportunities to see God save them. Isn't that the main goal here? Isn't that why we're here? Now we read Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Now let's look at 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What causes growth? By each one of us supplying what we have, by each one of us doing our share. The body grows because we work together. We're each one serving in a different way, which creates the body of Christ. And as it grows, we're going to serve others and we're going to see effective ministry in place. You know, I appreciated what Sean shared this morning. I loved, as a youth pastor, taking our youth on mission trips to summer camp, to youth convention. And here's the thing. This is not something I could prove on paper. It's not something I could even explain to you. But every youth trip we ever took, we saw growth in the students who went. It's why we try to put so much emphasis. I don't know if it's because the students just get out of their comfort zone. They get away from certain friends. I don't know what it is. But every time we would take a trip, we might take 15 or 20 to youth convention or to camp. And when we would come back, there was a passion inside them. They were closer friends. They were laughing together. Whereas it might be quiet on the way because everybody's just kind of trying to get to know each other. They're a little nervous. But on the way home, they're laughing. They're picking on each other. But also, they're not just tighter as friends. They've grown closer to God. And what would happen is when we would get back and the first Wednesday night we were back, we would see something different. We would see a new passion and a new desire to serve Christ, which would take those around them and bring them up to a new level. So every time we took a trip, our youth group tended to just take another step and grow. You know, I told you this last week. My neighbor and I have been working on my mower. And we were talking last week about the right piece of equipment and how that can help you in fixing something. But I would love to stand here today and tell you we fixed it, but we didn't. We're still learning. We're still getting there. But I used this word last week, we had to bring the transaxle out of this mower. Okay? It's a zero turn mower, so it has the arms that go this way and back, and then this way and back. And so that's how you steer. As you want to go forward, you push forward. You want to go back, you push it back. If you want to turn, you do the opposite, and you're going to turn. Well, when we pulled out the transaxle, which is what controls where you're going to go, how much power you have, we set it on a table, and there's four bolts. There's two up front and two in the back. And those four bolts help keep the transaxle balanced. And what happens is if you put torque this way and this way, it's going to put more tension on the front corner, front left corner and the back right corner. But if you go this way, it's going to put more tension on those. And when we pulled that out, we realized one of the four bolts was broken. We found the problem. So I ordered a new bolt and we put it in. And now we're working on getting that back in balance so we can get it back in the mower and get it working again. Here's the thing I think about on that, is as the body of Christ, we have to be in balance. And there's going to be times when God calls on certain people who are working hard in this corner, and it's going to put a little tension on here and here. And the next week, they might be using different people, and it's put a little tension here and here. And you never know what part you're doing as an usher, as a greeter, as a children's worker, you're getting pulled a little bit. It's just putting a little torque on you. What's amazing about this bolt that broke is it wasn't going sideways and they put tension and broke this way. This bolt was going up and down and it literally had so much torque it pulled it apart, which I thought was pretty amazing. But as the body of Christ, if we are not growing, if we are not doing our part, it's going to put too much tension on one part and something breaks. The system falls apart. And it puts a little stop on mowing the lawn. It puts a little stop on what we need to get done as a church. We need you growing. We need you doing your part to keep the system working as it should. Now, I'm going to give you, I almost didn't say this. I'm going to give you a word of encouragement this morning. And here's how I'll say it. For some of us, this word of encouragement is just maybe a kind word of instruction. But to some of us, this is going to be a good kick in the pants. Are you okay with that? You decide which one it will be, but that's what it's going to be. When we are growing and we tend to feel that tension, just like my mower did, that's growing pains. Some people are taking the extra step. Some people are going a little further and other people aren't ready yet. And it's kind of feeling the tension of that. And 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And some of us in this room need to put away childish things. It's time to grow up, just as the scripture already told us. And let me tell you how this happens. I had a conversation just a few weeks ago with someone about this. And I hope this comes across from my heart, speaking the truth in love. Some of us ride on the coattails of others for our spirituality. Whether that be a spouse or maybe a parent. And we love that they read the Bible and they pray and they do the things that they're supposed to do. And it feels good to be around someone spiritual. So it makes us feel more spiritual. But where are we? And I got to be honest with you. We've had an incredible pastor who's been here for 30 years. And with a leader like that, it's very easy to just ride on his coattails and come every Sunday and say, "Boy, that was a good word." And we walk away feeling good, not really changing a lot, but just feeling good about what we heard until next week. And then we hear another good word, and we just kind of ride the coattails of the pastor. And it's time to grow up and be your own self and find your own spirituality. Does that make sense? You are equipped to serve. You are a minister. It's very easy to call me a minister because I'm on staff at a church or I'm a pastor. But you are a minister. I want you to learn this. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We are all ministers. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 5 and 6. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as what? Ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What are we talking about when we say the letter? Really, he's talking about the law. The law kills. People hear, well, you just need to do this, this, and this, and you'll be good. That kills. But when you give them the Spirit, which gives life, and that's what you are a minister of, the Spirit. You, it doesn't matter if you're a doctor. It doesn't matter if you change tires every week. It doesn't matter if you cut hair. You are a minister, a full-time minister. Not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesday nights. You're a full-time minister. And the question today is, who are you serving? You don't have to save them. What you have to do is serve them. And out of that, you're going to see people come to know Christ. I believe that. So our second point was, it's not about saving. It's about serving. Number three, it's not about becoming. It's about belonging. Galatians 4, 6, and 7, you can see it on the screen. It says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Listen to this now. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son or a daughter. If a son, an heir of God through Christ. Once again, we've gotten this backwards. Many times in church, we think we have to become something to belong. But this scripture is telling us we are a child of God. We belong, and out of the understanding that we belong here and that God loves us for who we are, we will become who God has called us to be. We will understand we are equipped to serve. So you don't have to become something first. Just understand that you belong. Have you ever been in someone's house that was so nice? You just never felt like comfortable. You didn't want to touch anything. You didn't want to sit anywhere. You're afraid you're going to break something. Anybody know what I'm talking about? My parents pastored churches when I was growing up, and we would go visit people in our church. And I remember this older couple. They had two living rooms in their house, and one of them they kind of entertained in. So we would always sit in that living room. And I remember seeing this other living room that had some really nice furniture, had this pretty white carpet, and it was very nice. But the lights were never on in that room. They never used that room. It just sat there, and it looked nice all the time. Even to get to the back of the house, they would go around in the hallway, and they never touched that living room. It just kind of sat there. And it was so nice. What a waste! I mean, you got this good living room just sitting there. But when we would sit there, I just was afraid to touch anything. I never felt like I belonged. You know what I'm talking about? However, in high school, my junior year, right between sophomore and junior year, we moved to Springfield. And I had a best friend who had just moved from Albuquerque, same summer. We moved together. We both loved baseball. We both loved country music, and we both loved Mountain Dew. So we were best friends. It happened like that. We just connected. And we were both new. So obviously we didn't know anybody else. So we kind of made that connection. He only lived like 2 miles down the road from me. So that summer, we both drove. So he was either coming to my house every day or I was going to his house. And I remember walking into his house for the first time, meeting his parents, and I'm sitting there, and we're talking, and yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, and I'm trying to be polite. And can I be honest, I never, got up and went over to their cabinets and said, we got to eat, I'm hungry. How weird would that be? They'd probably kick me out and say, go find a new friend. But you know what? I got very comfortable there to the point where I felt like I was one of them. Because I was over there all the time. He had a basement with big screen TV and a sound system and a pool table and a ping pong table. And his room was down there. So we just had a great time hanging out down there every day if he wasn't in my house. And before long, I felt comfortable enough I could just walk in their house. Same with him. He'd just walk in our back door, say, hey, I'm here, and just walk in. We were just that comfortable with each other because we felt like we belonged. And the best part was his mom kept the fridge full and the cabinets full of good food. So before long, I found out she always had pizza rolls, taquitos, and the best was the fruit roll-ups. Who doesn't like a good fruit roll-up? Come on. It was awesome. And I could just go to the cabinet or the fridge, whatever I wanted, I could just grab. This has nothing to do with this story, but my favorite thing I used to do with him was his mom had kind of a nasal voice. And she would stand at the top of the stairs when she needed him, and she'd go, Andy? And just call him, and he'd come running up the stairs. So, as I said, I'd just make my way in their house whenever I wanted. So, I would stand at the top of the stairs, and I'd go, Andy? And I'd sound just like her. And he would come running up the stairs, and he'd be like, oh. And I got him more times doing that. I had a blast. It was awesome. But I'm telling you, I got comfortable there. I felt like I belonged. And you know what? It just became like my house. May we have that in this house. May we understand that we belong to God and everything He has is ours. We are heirs of His. So if He has something in the cabinet, you can have it. If He's got something in the fridge, you can have it. Now here's the best part. When I found out how cool and how good that house was, you know what I'd do at school? We had lots of other friends, and I would say, you got to come over to Andy's house. It's awesome. They got the pool table, they got the ping pong table, they got all the food you can want. So I'm inviting everybody else to his house. Man, we'd have 8-10 people down in that basement having a blast. And I was inviting people there. Why? Because I loved it. Because I belonged there. And you know what? You belong here. And when you find that out and when you understand that you belong, you'll begin to invite others. And you'll say, you won't believe what they have at this house. They have everything. God can give you salvation. God can give you restoration. God can give you healing in this house. We belong. Church, you don't have to become first. You belong so you can become. Do you understand that today? It's about belonging. Man, I watch movies, sappy movies with my wife all the time. I don't cry once. But I get in here and start talking to you and I start crying. Come on. Can't even read. My my desire is that you feel that sense of belonging in this place and that you begin to invite others. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. That means we can come asking for anything. And we're not coming arrogantly or cocky because it's something we did. We come boldly before the throne of grace because of what He did for us. And that's what we must understand. You think you can't be used of God? Let me give you some examples of who God used in the Bible. And you know what? You might find yourself coming out looking like a saint by the time I get through with this list. Listen to this. Abraham was old. Elijah was suicidal. Joseph was abused. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Guilty. Done that. Job went bankrupt. Moses had a speech problem. Martha worried about everything. Sorry, ladies. I know. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Noah was a drunk. Jacob was a cheater. David was a murderer. Peter, he denied Christ 3 times. And Lazarus was straight up dead. Come on. Every one of them were used of God. And you really think you're not qualified? Who is? I'm not qualified to stand in this place, but God's given me the ability because I made myself available. And that's all we're asking you to do is make yourself available today and you'll find the ability will come. You'll learn that you are equipped to serve. We talk to people all the time who don't feel good enough to come to church because they don't have it all together. Or I can't be used of God because of my past. Jesus made it very clear that He did not come for perfect people. He came for the sick, not the well. What we need as we're growing as a body of Christ, and when I say growing, I don't mean numerically, I mean spiritually. As we begin to grow, we will find those people walking in the building and looking for what we have. Not the well, but the sick who need God and who need to feel like they belong. It's up to us to do that. I want to close with this story. Is Travis Clark here anywhere? There he is. You know what's something cool? Travis just finished, last Monday, he finished his second Ironman. How cool is that? Now, I'm one of those guys that doesn't run an Ironman, so I'm going to live vicariously through Travis and tell you a story about what he experienced in running the Ironman. There's 3 phases to an Ironman. I've done a tenth of an Ironman. I swam across the pool and ran after Connor before he got away, so that's something. So I can count that as something. But we were at the pool party Wednesday night, and Travis was there, and I just began to ask him about his experience in running that Ironman. And they do the swimming part first, and then they bike, and then they run. And he was telling me about each part of that. Pretty incredible experience. But the best part, and I hope I do this justice, Travis, I apologize if I screwed this up. But from what he explained to me, he was coming down to the end, and you really couldn't tell it was the finish line. There was kind of a curve, and he said, when they finally turned the corner, you could see the finish line. And he began to describe this. He said they had red carpet rolled out, and there was kind of a tunnel of people along each side. And as you're running down through the finish line, they got their arms out. They're high-fiving it. They're saying, great job. They don't even know it, but they're just saying, great job. You did it. Come on, you're at the finish line. Good job. And they're encouraging him. They're high-fiving him as he's just coming to the finish line. And my favorite part was this. Each one of the contestants has a chip on them so they know exactly where they're at in the race. So they know who's coming to the finish line before they get there. And at the very end, as he's running to the finish line, there's an announcer standing there with a microphone. There's lights on the red carpet. There's stands on each side where people are sitting. They're cheering you on. And that announcer says, and coming in to finish from Chillicothe, Missouri, Travis Clark. And the stands go on. And they're encouraging him to finish. How awesome. That just gives me chills just thinking about it. I want to go run one, but I won't. How cool is that? Church, this is what I imagine. It's people coming down this aisle, seeing this as a red carpet, coming to Christ, and us cheering them on, saying, you got this. Come on. You're here. You made it. Except it's not the finish. It's the beginning. It starts here. May you understand, it's not your ability, it's your availability. May you not worry about getting people saved, but just serve them. Just show them Christ with love. And you don't have to become anything. You belong. Bow your heads in this place. If you're here today, you don't know what it's like to belong. You've never felt that. Today's your day. God is here for you today. If you've never had that sense of belonging, if you've never accepted Christ into your heart, this is your moment. And if that's you in this place, I just ask that you lift your hand. We just want to pray with you and welcome you and show you that God accepts you just as you are. If that's you in this place, please lift your hand. Nobody's looking at you. It doesn't matter. You're not lifting your hand for me. You're lifting it for God. Anyone in this place who needs salvation today. Maybe you're here today. You could say, Chad, I've been caught up in my inability to serve. I've been caught up in all of my flaws. So much so, I didn't even make myself available. I haven't even been faithful. Maybe you're the second person. You say, I've been so caught up in trying to be the greatest or save people that I've forgotten to serve. Or maybe you just didn't feel like you belonged. You thought you had to become something first. Today, once again, I just want to pray with you. So I'm going to pray. We're going to close this service and I'm going to let you go. But if you're in this place and you need prayer today, this is your opportunity just to come forward. And when you step forward, once again, I said this last week, that first step you make is that step of faith. Just to say, God, I know you need to do something in my life. So I'm going to step forward so that I can allow you to do that. And the closer you get, the stronger that feeling becomes. And the closer you get, the more you want what God has for you. So Lord, thank you for the message that you've spoken to us today. Thank you that you love us. No matter what our history is, no matter what we've done, you accept us and we belong. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week. But if you need prayer today, please come forward.